This show is powered by BL3P, the Lightning-enabled European Bitcoin exchange.
Connect the builds.
Dea Reskita, Class Bitcoin Indonesia.
Yuichi Sakamoto is a renowned Japanese musician, composer, producer, and activist. He showed an early interest in music and began studying composition and electronic music at Tokyo National University of Fine Arts and Music. Do you like his music so much because his surname is so similar to Nakamoto?
No.
You can wake me up in the middle of the night for a nice sushi roll.
Yes.
Is it true that you got orange-pilled by Max Kaiser?
Yes.
Did you already finish reading Alex Gladstein's new book, Hidden Repression?
Yes.
George Orwell was a writer from British India, born in 1903 and sadly passed away at the age of 46. Orwell's work remains highly relevant and influential, addressing themes of political oppression, surveillance, language manipulation, and the dangers of unchecked power. Do you think Orwell would have been a Bitcoiner if he was still alive?
No.
Fight Club is a 1999 film directed by David Fincher and based on a novel of the same name by Chuck Palahniuk. Did you know Chuck first came up with the idea for the novel after being beaten up on a camping trip when he complained to some nearby campers about the noise of their radio? When he returned to work, he was fascinated to find that nobody would mention or acknowledge his injuries, instead saying such complaints things as how was your weekend?
No.
Yoga has roots that date back over 5,000 years to ancient India. It was initially developed as a spiritual practice to achieve physical, mental, and spiritual balance. June 21st is celebrated as International Yoga Day. Do you prefer International Yoga Day over a Bitcoin Pizza Day?
No.
My dream is to make Bali the most famous Bitcoin island again.
Yes.
Is there a connection between your Bitcoin journey and the self-development retreats you organize?
Yes.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
No.
Welcome to the Connect the World weekly podcast. I'm Edward.
And I'm Steph. We are ready to take you with us into the beautiful world of the Lightning Network.
Enjoy the ride.
This is episode 86 of Connect the World, and this show is made possible by our friends from BL3P, the European Bitcoin Exchange. Thank you guys again for helping us with our mission. And if you also want to help out with our mission to connect the world with Bitcoin and Lightning, then follow us on Twitter, subscribe at YouTube, or if you have any questions at all, ask us anything in our Telegram group, Connect the World. So see you there. And of course, a donation is always welcome. And let's head over to our guests.
Conecta el mundo.
Welcome, Dea. Good to have
you on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was fun, the question.
Yeah, I was thinking because I digged a bit into your history, obviously, to come up with all those questions. And I wrote something about George Orwell. It's not his real name, by the way. Did you know that also?
Yeah. I mean, I heard about that.
I didn't know
for me, like, I like the work that he's doing.
Yeah. But when I read about him, I was like, well, this could be a real Bitcoin. And you said no. But why don't you think he would become a Bitcoiner when he was still alive?
I don't know. I mean, I have a feeling that he is more like of course he's like anti-authoritarian, but maybe Well, I don't know. That's just a hunch feeling, I guess. I don't have a good explanation for that.
No problem. But you were so saying no. I was like, okay, so maybe you know something about him that we don't, you know?
Well, of course not. Everyone who sees dangers of unchecked power is a Bitcoiner, but perhaps, yeah, I see the relevance there, Steph. Perhaps he is a Bitcoiner when he was still alive. I don't know. And then he uses Lightning, of course.
yeah, sure. Every Bitcoiner does, right?
Yeah.
And you got orange pilled by Max Kaiser. Can you explain?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. What was your orange pill story? Yeah.
Well, the story was that I got into Bitcoin because I thought that it would be a good way to receive payment. Back in the day, I run a retreat logistic service in Bali, and usually I have a lot of clients that wants to book retreat in Bali, and then they need to pay me via bank transfer or via PayPal, and I always lose money from this thing. Yeah. So I stumbled upon Bitcoin. And yeah, I just used, I just thought okay, it's a really interesting way to send and receive money, but I don't really understand the relevance of Bitcoin in a economy level or even in the broader, bigger picture. I guess I never really listened to any podcasts or any materials before. I just know this is something that I can use, and then I have been using it as well.
And when was your plan then to convert it into your local currency immediately, or were you also interested in keeping the Bitcoin as it is?
At that time, I just see it like a PayPal mechanism. You know, you can receive money, you can send money. Medium of exchange. Yeah. But I never really understood about the value, the scarcity value, until one day my husband was just watching, I think he was watching different YouTube videos. He was watching even, I don't know, a lot of this conspiracy theory and whatever. So I don't really pay attention whenever he watched YouTube. And then he watched Max Kaiser, and he was Max was talking, and I don't really pay attention until, I don't really remember what did he said, but it really caught my attention. I just suddenly just click, you know, suddenly this whole Bitcoin, what it mean for us, for the world, is just like opening my eyes. And I thought whoa, okay, I think I want to learn more. And then that's when I start my Bitcoin rabbit hole journey.
Cool. Awesome. And when was this? What time period?
I think it was the beginning of 2020. So, I mean, I started using Bitcoin in 2016 for that, for the medium of exchange reason. But I started going down deep early 2020.
Cool. And what is the connection then between your Bitcoin journey and the self-development retreat you're organizing? Because you said, yes, there is a connection, but what is the connection?
Well, so the funny thing is, you know, if you're running retreat, usually you run not only yoga, sometimes there is maybe tantra retreat or, many interesting esoteric things that they do in Bali, right? And I think after I got orange pill and I read a lot about Bitcoin, and I just I read also a lot of books about banking, and it's just suddenly it's kind of opened my mind. And I was at this tantra retreat where I organized, helping someone to organize the retreat, and they were talking about different energy. There's a masculine energy, there's feminine energy, there's this thing called shadow, you know, how sometimes, you know, if we don't express this energy, it's just gonna being suppressed and become a very bad thing. And then I just get this connection between what happened in the world, in the fiat world, where it's actually creating a lot of shadows in our the way we operate. That's why people cheat, people do many things, because the fiat world is actually like robbing us. Mm-hmm. So and then I start tweeting about that. I start tweeting about the relevance between different goddesses and all this thing. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly Max Kaiser pick up my tweet. I was just like,
it's a
randomly
perfect moment.
It was a perfect moment. Max Kaiser pick up my tweet and he said, like, this is very interesting take. Would you come into my show? So that's like my first Bitcoin journey, because I was helping a retreat. I got somehow downloaded and inspired and just ran, you know, just like tweet posting.
Awesome.
And for some reason, Max Kaiser found it interesting. So yeah, I have to thank Max for bringing me into like Bitcoin world and Bitcoin rabbit hole.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, because I saw that you interviewed him, right? For your own podcast. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Awesome.
Cool. And the retreats, it's a bit off topic, obviously, but got my attention because I listened to the What Bitcoin Did podcast with Tuur de Meester. I don't know if you listened to that one too. He did also a retreat using iboga. I don't know if you're familiar with that kind of stuff. Are you also organizing those retreats, or is it just you and well, breath exercises and that kind of thing?
Unfortunately, that thing is illegal. Even though my name is DEA, illegal. In Indonesia. So like if I organize that thing, like I'm gonna go into, you know, get into trouble.
Yeah, well, I must say, if you haven't listened to that podcast, it I think 80% of the episode is about the experience that Tuur had with the drug, because it is just a psychedelic drug.
Yeah, iboga.
Yeah, I did mushrooms once in my life, and I think I had like the really light version of the experience, really, really, really light version of the experience that Tuur had. But I was listening to it, and I became a bit afraid for the substance, even though I don't have any plans to take it or something. But man, the story, he really nailed it in that episode, I must say. So. It's better to just keep it by with yoga and the breath exercise and all.
Well, I mean, I would say that psychedelics is actually it's like a shortcut if you want to experience that kind of like mind opening and then like different mind altering situation, but. I guess you can also achieve that through breath work. You can also achieve that through like pressing your emotion, running your energy. I mean, that this is like what most people are talking about in the retreat. I can see that you can actually experience more like in a controlled way, rather than like if you are taking a psychedelic sometimes. You know, when you're there.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing is, I just received, I think it was yesterday, I received my, I do microdose mushrooms, truffles, and I just received them. And that really helped me to just get the focus and all. And you know, I don't know if you did mushrooms in the past or something, but the day after you finish the mushroom trip, you feel like a newborn, right? So, and that feeling, I can also, well, get to that feeling in a minimum way by a microdose.
Does it really work, Steph?
Truffles? Yeah.
Because
it really
there
does.
Are also people that say that it's a placebo.
Man. I have enough experience with all kinds of shit to know that this is not a placebo.
Tell us more. Tell us more.
You can just, okay, like microdosing is just getting a really low doses of a portion that will make you trip, right? So if you normally get maybe 10 grams to have a really bad trip, a really great trip, you just take one microgram to just have the microdose a portion. So it's not it's you can't compare the two feelings. But when I have a day off, I did try to to have multiple portions when I have a day off, and then I was like, oh yeah, well okay, now I see some things that I shouldn't see, right? So maybe trees there's no wind, but the trees are moving, you know, that crazy stuff.
I see you there, but laying on your nail.
But no, but I really can recommend it to you. At work, especially when okay. you have a no, but really, if you have something, because you're also very artistic, right?
Yeah, and, that's right. No, that's
and,
right.
And when you need a hyper focus, or when you want to be creative, it can really, really help you. And it helped me to get more peace of mind, because I have a really busy time, and I was like, oh man, I really need to chill out. So, but no, cool. So, are you coming to Bitcoin Amsterdam, Dia?
Unfortunately, no, since I'm also going to prepare for the Bitcoin Indonesia conference.
Sure. Oh, yes. So stupid. So stupid.
Yeah. That's also in October,
I was thinking, if you come to Amsterdam, we can do one together.
We can do travel.
That will be fun. But speaking of which, I would say when we talk about psychedelic is really, you know, unveil a lot of misconception that we have, unveiled or even deprogram our brain. When you took psychedelic, like usually you have this programming that you have from the past. Maybe it's from your parents, maybe it's from your religion, from your community. And suddenly, like when you took psychedelic, this deprogramming, it's gone. And I see that there's a similarity with Bitcoin, because once you get Bitcoin, suddenly you need to deprogram your brain with a lot of conditioning that we have throughout our life, you know, because it's not only just like about money, but because it's money is everything. So then you have to rethink about everything as well.
but it really makes sense what you say. Yeah, that's, It's really like reprogramming, or just rewriting your memory disk. That's what I always say. If people ask me what do you feel, it's like when you have more working space in your brain, right? And you can just rewrite typical memory. So
and it's learned great. A lot, and then you need to rethink everything. So it's difficult to understand something that changes so many things. Before we continue, I just wanted to know, you just started as a community master at Fedi, right?
Yes.
can you shortly tell us what you exactly do there?
Yeah, so with Fedi, we are actually focusing on the community custodian for Bitcoin. So, yeah. I mean, with Bitcoin, usually we are talking about, you know, the self-sovereignty, you know, you have to custody your own Bitcoin, or even, competition, I guess, you know, with mining, like, you know, you need to compete like a capitalist model. But I think what is missing is actually the community aspect. And since Bitcoin is decentralized, community is supposed to be a heart of it. And we see this, a lot of people, a lot of people having difficulties of maybe don't have a technical avenue to, or maybe technical background to
background,
really
know
about this thing. So as a Fedi community master, we are, you know, engaging with community and how we can using Fedi Min, like federation model, so custody your Bitcoin, and then having like more interaction within the community. And as a community master in Asia, I'm just focusing on the Asia market.
Cool.
Awesome.
Cool. Nice. Okay. Yeah, you're really busy with things we saw. Do you have still time to sleep, or you just stay awake at night?
Well, I am here at 1 a.m. So.
That's right. That's okay.
That's correct.
Come on.
No, cool.
Poor Dia.
Okay, we would really love to talk about Class Bitcoin and the Bitcoin conference in Indonesia, but it has to be in the 21 minutes, Dea. So if you're ready, we would really love to enter that part. Are you ready?
All right. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Connectaz Lumea.
Well, like we said before, amongst a lot of things, you are the founder of Klaas Bitcoin. Can you explain what the main goals are for Klaas Bitcoin in promoting Bitcoin adoption and education in Indonesia?
Yeah, so I think with any other countries, the biggest barrier for Bitcoin education is actually access to materials in local language.
Yeah.
So what I'm actually trying to do is to, just curate a lot of content out there about Bitcoin and then translate it into Bahasa Indonesia and then making it into a sequence so then people can go into a journey and then pick up several topics that they are interested to learn. So it's just mainly for me to curate everything. And then if people want to ask me like how do I know about, you know, self-custody or how can I buy Bitcoin and how, like, why we should buy Bitcoin, I will have it in one place. So what we are doing apart from the website is also like I run classes. So it's actually start as a class, just people coming together and then just talk about Bitcoin. And and from that class is actually we had this idea. I mean, not only me, but there are also several other communities who did the same thing. And we see that, rather than me talking to just like few people in my class, why don't we just come together and, you know, learn about Bitcoin in one big event. So that's when we started running our first Indonesia Bitcoin conference in 2021 a way to, let's get together and then talk about Bitcoin.
Sure. And is class also the translation for class then? Or
Class.
Cool. Yeah, in Dutch it's also class, so it really makes sense.
yeah, it's the same. Yeah,
it's the same. And are you focusing with Klaas Bitcoin then you personally on Bali, or is also the whole of Indonesia your audience?
It's everywhere. For like the Klaas Bitcoin itself, it's an online platform, so. I'm like the students that come for Klaas Bitcoin come from, you know, any islands in Indonesia. So, and through also through the conference, we gather a lot of people from different islands. We even have some members that come from like between the border of Indonesia and Malaysia. So that's really unique, you know, to have people that really far away. So, yeah.
Yeah. And why is Bitcoin so important for Indonesia, particularly in your opinion?
Well, Indonesia has a long history of money debasement. We experienced 2 hyperinflation in the past in 1965.
I think I saw on your Twitter, I saw the paper bills, right?
The paper bill.
With very high numbers on it.
Yes, we have 2 hyperinflation in 1965 and 1998. So right now, our biggest bill is 100,000, and that's actually equal to $6 or $7 right now. So everyone in Indonesia is millionaire. So, you know, I always tell people don't wish to be a millionaire because that's not gonna be fun.
No, exactly. Yeah.
The relevance is obviously because of that, because of the hyperinflation and people in Indonesia needs to find a way to save their wealth. In the past, we have land and we have gold, but both of them are not very liquid. Or even with gold, you can't even transport gold easily. If you want to move around, it's very hard, right? So now we have Bitcoin, and Bitcoin is very accessible. Anyone can buy it, even as, you know, as low as 10,000 rupiah, which is equal to, I don't know, 60 cents or something. Like, we can buy that amount in Indonesia. So so if people want to start saving, start hedging their wealth against inflation, then Bitcoin is actually a really good tool.
Perfect.
And how do you approach people who are completely new to Bitcoin? Because there are a lot of people, right? I think only 2% own Bitcoin. What are the biggest challenges in terms of educating people in Indonesia about Bitcoin?
Well, I mean, considering about my journey as well, is to really understand how money works, right?
Yeah.
And I always love to start my class with showing a picture. There's like these really old photos, like a menu from a little restaurant, you know, like a bowl of meatball used to cost 200 rupiah. And now it costs 20,000 rupiah. And then I always ask them, like, well, why it changed? I mean, the amount of meatball is the same. We still use the same cow. But why, well, you know, why the price has gone up? Well, how much is that? Like 100%, like 100 times than it used to be, right?
Ungraspable, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So we start by like having that conversation. We also start to compare, you know, the money, like, you know, one rupiah at a long time ago, you can buy groceries worth of, you know, 1 week groceries. And now you need more than 100,000 rupiah to buy 1 week groceries. So just try to make them think about this phenomenon. And then we are start talking about money printing. We start talking about the history of money. And from there, usually people will start to think. And usually the pain point is always why things are getting more expensive every year. Most people don't realize that. They just accept it as a norm. And that's usually where the conversation is actually going.
So slowly reprogramming and talking about the financial system, understanding it. And
Can you share some of your success stories with the impact on people in the community that you experience with Class Bitcoin?
I guess one of my things that I can remember was that I got invited from a school. Like, there's a bunch of students in high school that would like to learn about Bitcoin, and they're very enthusiastic. And I was surprised, you know, they really want to learn about Bitcoin, even they are high schooler. So that give me hopes. And it's really energizing to see that young people really want to know more about this new technology. Yeah. And
is this a reoccurring thing now? Are you going on a regular basis now to that high school? Or?
No, I mean, it's not like a regular basis, but we are trying to focus more on like schools, and then one of the biggest approach that currently that we are trying to do is to focus more on the building side, because this is also the reason why at the conference we want to throw Lightning Hackathon and to invite like a lot of students to tinker about Lightning and to understand about what is Lightning Network and how they can create something out of Lightning. So my hope is that I guess in Indonesia right now, a lot of people already heard about Bitcoin, and then there's a lot of materials out there teaching about Bitcoin. But one of the things that I want to push more is actually on the building side, and creating a module later after the conference that allow people to create something from Lightning Network.
And then it's very important, of course, that you have because there are a lot of programmers or people who are technical, but they could be, of course, no coiners and don't understand anything about Bitcoin. So it's interesting to lure them in and teach them and then put them to build, of course.
And exactly.
Do you also educate about the risks? Because if someone who doesn't know Bitcoin doesn't know how to store it, for example. Do you also emphasize it?
Yeah, okay. Obviously, because I think Indonesia and also other part of countries in Southeast Asia, we are very prone to scam because people, well, one is like our currency and our economy is not the best in the world. So people trying to find a way to, you know, go ahead from this race, from the race with the money printer. But so it's very important to teach them differentiate what is scam and what is not. And it's a hard thing because one, like, you know, of course they love to gamble, they love to play.
That's human.
It's human taking risk. But at the same time as well, it's important to know which one is scam and which one is not.
Indeed.
In 2022, I must say, Bank of Indonesia released a white paper about the digital rupiah, so the Indonesian CBDC. The time frame now? Are they moving forward with launching the CBDC, and are you educating about it in your classes, obviously?
I mean, I actually had a session with one of the central bank as well, talking about CBDC and what my view about it. But if you ask what is the status, of course, like any other countries right now in Indonesia, they want to develop it. They are on the track to develop CBDC. So what we are trying to educate people is to let them understand what does it mean to use CBDC, what kind of privacy or what are the things that going to be taken away from you when you use CBDC, and knowing the risk as well, right? I think when they start implementing, it will be inevitable that everyone is going to use it. But when, let's say, when people start experiencing the censorship, when people start experiencing, the injustice way of, like what happened in China, when they use the social credit system and then they tie it with the CBDC, it will push an adoption to Bitcoin, I think, because I think people will start differentiate which one that is, you know, a good money, and then
so that's a good momentum if they then have the knowledge at forehand before that happens, because then they can choose, then they can think, well, this is not what I would like. So it's that's like, very important.
I guess I'm seeing it more like in a pragmatic way. Right now in Indonesia, like everyone is using the mobile QR payment. I have to say it's really convenient. Like, you know, you can use your mobile and you can just go anywhere and then you can just scan it. But you need to also be aware whenever you use that, every time they will always collect your data. I mean, of course, this is not the CBDC yet. This is just like a normal digital money, but they are testing it through this. And then when they have a CBDC, then it's going to be totally programmable that they can take, you know, they can delete your money. They can put like a time limit on your money. So that will be a very interesting, experience for a lot of people. And that's why what I always trying to educate them is that if you want to have your own saving that cannot be taken away from you, that cannot be deleted, that doesn't have time limit, then you have to put it in Bitcoin.
Let's talk a little bit more about the Bitcoin conference you are organizing. Can you walk us shortly through the birth of the conference? Because you're not doing it alone, of course. How did you initiate it?
So it started by three people: me, Henry, and also Pratiwi, who are both three of us are Bitcoiners, and we kind of frustrated because all the events or all the crypto events is just talking about shitcoins, right? And then you don't want to talk about Bitcoin, but there's no events like that in Indonesia. So then we just thought, well, you know what? Let's just do it our own. So in 2021, I mean, of course, at that time, there's still pandemic, and then Indonesia, it's a bit hard to organize in-person event. So we thought, let's just start small. We started doing it an online conference. We just prepared for 2 months. I mean, even though we say like it's online conference, there's also a lot of things to organize. We have like the platform where people can visit the booth, and then they can chat, they can have a game. So there's like a platform dedicated to that. And it was a huge success. Like we got 1,000 people. We sold out the ticket basically for the
conference. That's a lot.
Yeah. And then we got Safedin Amus to come in.
Nice. Yeah.
We have Robert Breedlove. And then, a bunch of like Indonesian Bitcoiner, like, because there are, I have to say, there are a lot of Bitcoiners in Indonesia. A lot of people already own Bitcoin since 2011 or even, earlier. But as this is like an Indonesian culture, people don't really want to, let's say, show off, right? They don't want to show off. So they want to
keep themselves. But that's a good thing, right? Especially when you own Bitcoin, right? So
exactly.
Yeah. Indeed.
So, but they are everywhere. And the reason, the purpose of having this type of conference is just to get to know who are these people in real life. So that's why we are doing the conference. And in 2022, we got even Jeff Booth coming as a speaker. We have Alex Gladstein coming to speak as well. But of course, at 2022, it wasn't really clear regarding the, if we want to do it the in-person one, because they still have a travel restriction. So we decided to do the online one as well. So this year, is the time when we are doing our first in-person conference. It's been
great.
We have a really big support from a lot of people. We got Jack Dorsey is gonna come to speak. We got Alex Gladstein awesome. Again, Obi Nwosu from Fedi, Samson Mao is gonna come, and Anita Posh. So there's a lot of people from everywhere, and also especially in the Southeast Asia community, because I really want to bring a lot of focus on Southeast Asia, because there are a lot of conference in the US or maybe in Europe. Mm-hmm. But this year there is a lot of conference happening also in Southeast Asia. I started with LightningCon in Vietnam. There's also Bitcoin Retreat in Philippines. And then just last month it was Bitcoin Thailand. So we want to close this year in Southeast Asia with
out
Indonesia.
With a bang.
Bang.
and how has the conference then formally evolved? Because you say, well, do you have new features also? You already talked about the Lightning Hackathon, but I can imagine that going from an online version to an in-person version, that you maybe also want to have some differences aside from the hackathon then.
Well, I guess because it's first in person, everything is going to be new. Our focus for the conference is pretty much just, learning, building, connecting, especially in the connecting side. I think I went to several conferences, and I feel the best experience is actually when you connect with other Bitcoiner, and then you feel that you are not the only one. You're not the only crazy person.
No.
But it's fun, and from the connection you can build many cool things together. So that's our few, like our dreams, our goal. But when it comes to
eventually, it's just one big meetup, right? I mean,
it's that's one what, big meetup.
In Amsterdam, it was the same. We like Edward and I.
Yeah,
and we
also had an crazy.
Own, we had a
whole team.
We had a whole team, and we did some recordings, obviously. Yeah. But I didn't saw any talk because you're always talking with your friends and new people you meet
and so interviewing. So
it's perfect.
We didn't see anything. Well, we walked with Ben, right? Ben Ark.
Yeah, Ben Ark, and all. It is great. It's just so nice to meet someone, so many people. That have a common thought about some subject.
And so, I think there it happens, being together in that space and all the things around you happen, and then that becomes a narrative, and you can talk with each other and see the comparison. And I think that's important. I hear the TikTok. I have one extra question. Indonesia has a significant population, of course, without a bank account. Is financial inclusion also a recurring theme? And how do you address the issue for people who want to attend?
Well, the financial inclusion for sure, because there's like 60% of us is unbanked. Yeah, you know, we want to give more opportunity for people to get the banking access through Bitcoin, like, you know, different type, a new way of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. And I can imagine that
in
Amsterdam, they handed out the coin corner.
NFC.
Coin corner cards.
Yeah.
So so maybe it's also a nice idea for the Indonesia conference to hand out cards to people. So they can just experience how it is to have a wireless transaction with Bitcoin.
Because are you going to use a payment processor there, like for like the ones that we know here, a Galois or some other?
Well, this is a very interesting thing. In Indonesia, Bitcoin payment actually is not allowed. The only thing that is allowed is to be as an asset. So, but we will still have, Lightning wallet, and people can, people can also learn and then learn how to use it.
Yeah.
And we will also have Bazaar. We are working on several things. So then, you know, you can spend your sats, and then the merchant will accept it in rupiah. But this is still a work in progress.
No, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe something good for next year.
Yeah, too. We hope that one day that will become easier, right?
Yeah,
so we had a lot of questions extra, but perhaps some other time would be great, even after the conference, to know what you picked up there, organizing it. And love to have you back some other time. Let's head over to the bingo, Steph.
Yeah.
Connectado Lumia.
Yeah, let's play some bingo. We prepared three questions for you,
Daniel.
You may choose one of them. I have a question from Albert Boo. He's from NeutralPay.
I think that one is technical.
I'm
tricky
just
one. Saying.
Okay, and then we have Andrew Baggin. He's from Galloway. And we have Arnold Hubach, and he's a Bitcoin nomad.
Yeah.
Working for Bitcoin Magazine NL.
So, those two questions are interesting, I think. But I'm not saying anything.
You're helping.
Yeah, yeah, sorry.
which one can we play for you, Dea?
Albert Boo, I don't know.
Don't do it.
No. Because I know Albert, that's why I remember his
name. He's a nice guy, but I've put it in, and I think I can answer it, but you must answer it some different way. So because it is a technical question, those other two aren't. So that's why I said it.
Yeah, you can also go with Andrew. Andrew is not technical.
Andrew is a nice guy also. They're all nice guys. They're Bitcoiners. Come on.
Well, okay. Maybe I'll try Andrew and Albert. I want to know what is Albert's question.
Yeah, you have to wait for that one, some other future episode.
An answer?
And you didn't see a Connect the World episode, so that's why I let's have a look. Andrew Baggin. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Andrew from Galloway. You have 30 seconds to introduce somebody to Lightning. What do you do in those 30 seconds?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll start now. Well, I like to say, if you want to receive payment instantly without fee, you can just use Lightning Network, because this is, this is really hard actually not to do it in 30 seconds. But I will say Bitcoin. If you pay in Bitcoin, you'd need to take like 10 minutes, for the confirmation to be processed. But through the Lightning Network, you can actually pay someone instantly to anyone around the world without fee. And yeah, it's quick and it's easy.
And lightning cool. fast.
Lightning fast.
Oh, good addition. Nice.
Thanks. I'm curious about how Andrew is doing this in 30 seconds. It's difficult. We
it's
all
hard.
Know
it's
this is difficult, yeah, but I think you did great. Okay. Let's continue.
Conectează lumea.
Because we have a prize to give away, Thea. What can we give away to our audience and to your audience, obviously?
We can give away three general admission ticket at Indonesia Bitcoin Conference. And the way you can win this is that you should share your best Bitcoin memes and tag bitcoinconf.id, the Indonesia Bitcoin Conference handle, and also Connect the World podcast Twitter handle. And follow us as well on the social media.
Yeah. Cool. So three general admission tickets to Indonesia Bitcoin Conference 2023, the first in-person conference
in
there,
Bali.
I think. Yeah, in Bali. Great. I mean, everybody wants to go there, right? So awesome.
Thanks.
Thanks for giving it away.
Yeah.
Okay, Dale. Yeah, again, thanks for the talk. Really interesting and really... Yeah, I'm sure you're going to pull off a great edition of the conference, and really love the work you do there in Indonesia. And it was really nice to talk to you. Where can people follow you?
Yeah, if people want to follow me, they can follow me on Twitter at Dea Reskita. But right now I'm also mostly on Noster. You can also find me on Dea Reskita at getalbi.com, or just find me at ordeanskita.iris.
or your pupkey.
My pupkeys.
Thanks again, Dia. And thanks everybody for listening, and thanks to all members participating in the Satoshi Radio Rings of Fire. And of course, thanks everyone to help us connect the world together. If you like our content, then please support us in our mission. We need you to complete our mission. So go to connecttheworld.life, where you can also donate and keep those nodes running, sets flowing, and rings burning. And see you all next week on the same Lightning channel. Adios,
Sampai jumpa.